in 2003, I sat right there, and in June, it was June 1st, 2003, we held a ceremony in this building, and it was called the Passing the Baton Ceremony. This very baton right here, it has 2 Timothy 2:2 on it, which says, "And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." It's this passing on to generation to generation. And I sat right there while we had a ceremony in this building, right where I'm standing, different stage. We've done a little bit of remodeling here, but it was this stage. And Central Evangelical Free had went out of business in 2003 and had decided at that time to give, G-I-V-E, give this property to us. That was great, because at the time we were 225 people or so, and there was no way, if we took the net worth of all of us, we could have probably afforded, like, I don't know, maybe like the trimmer on that door or something. There was no way we were going to do it. They gave us a Steinway piano. They gave us a van. They gave us money in their bank. It was crazy. And I sat there as they were talking about the baton, and they kept kind of holding it up in different things. And my son, David, who, let's see, now that's 2003, so that would be 9 years ago, roughly, and he's 20. So he's 11 years old at the time. And he says to me, because he's, "What are they going to do with that, Dad?" And I said, "Well, they're actually going to, they're going to do a passing of the baton ceremony. They're going to give me the baton." And David, in a very prophetic word, leans over to me, thinking about it for a little bit, as only an 11-year-old can do, and he says, "Dad, don't drop it." And I'm thinking, you have no idea how prophetic those words are, kid. Just don't screw this up. It's kind of like, "Dad, you're a screw-up. I've seen you around the house. Just don't mess this up." Today we're going to get a chance to talk about the future of Hope Community Church. Some of you, we know this, that about 50% of you have been here less than 1 year. That's this half over here. So this half over here, just hang with me for a while. But this half over here, this will be new for you. We want to talk about, I want to talk about the future of Hope Community today. And it is an exciting time at Hope. I want to do it by using 3 vintage albums. Album number 1. Huh? Anybody? Anybody alive? Anybody know who this band is? There you go. All right. That's the Who. The what? No, the Who. Sorry. Who are you? Right? It's a great question. It's a great song. Right? It's a great tune. It's a great band. But who are you? Who is Hope Community Church? Some of you are brand new to us, and I want to give you a little bit of our history, real brief, so you understand kind of where we're coming from, because we have changed in some regards, but a lot of who we are is exactly the same. And in, over my dead body, which I guess some people say can be arranged, will this change? And so there's some things that will not change. And I want to share a little bit of our history with us. In 1992, the idea of Hope Community Church first came to my mind while sitting in a class about starting new churches. I met with Stan Oster. Stan, are you in this service? Stan's not in this service. I just outed him. Where are you? Stan, there you are. I thought I saw you back there. Oh, man. Dude, are you kidding me? You're the first member of Hope Community Church, and that's the seat you get? Dude. Stan and I sat, and we'd had breakfast. In 1992, he was the leader of a class that I taught over at Bethlehem Baptist Church of young marrieds. He was the leader. I was the teacher. We'd meet. We got to get to know each other. And in 1992, I think it was 92, maybe early 93, somewhere in there, Stan said, "I just want to let you know, when you realize this dream of starting a new church, Carol and I are in." Now, little did I know that Carol was not in, that Stan was in, and it took a while for Carol to get in. But, you know, you spoke prophetically. So that was it. Hope had 2 members. We were at the Perkins on County Road D. I still remember the table. There it was. The church was launched in 92. 96, we actually tried to get the thing started and up and running and started asking people if they'd be part of it. and seven couples, 14 adults, and around seven kids. Someday I'm going to figure this out exactly, but if I do my math right, it's seven kids decided that we would we'd actually jump out in this crazy thing. And some of the values of Hope at those times was we wanted to reach a generation that was being missed by current ways of expressions of the church. And so we thought, we really would like to go after the University of Minnesota primarily. That was a real important place in my journey with Christ, and I just love that age group. And so we went through some different phases, and we started hitting some major, major roadblocks. We talked with the denomination that we were going to go with in the beginning, and the guy said, don't do it, you'll never be funded, which is pretty much true. I mean, that's I got to find it. That's pretty much true. But he said, don't do it. College students, they don't have any money. It's like, yeah, I know. And then there were some philosophical differences with other agencies and different things. I'll be honest with you, it was right in 96, right when we started gathering people, when I just thought, I don't know, God. I don't think you're in. I don't know what's going on. I can't understand this. What's this about? And it's then I was in my personal devotional life, and I was going through the book of Isaiah, and I hit Isaiah 57. I read through the first part of it, and then I hit the last half of Isaiah 57. And Isaiah 57, 14 to 23, or 21, excuse me, says this, and it will be said, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. And just in context, what's happening in this particular passage is Israel has been disobedient, and they've wandered far away, and God is calling them back home. And what he's saying is, excuse my voice today, what he's saying is, remove the obstacles. I'll be honest with you, I read verse 14, and I'll say this as a tough Iron Ranger, I'll still say it. I just started weeping because it's exactly what I wanted to do. It's exactly what we wanted Hope Community Church to be, a place where people could come to see Jesus, but as many as possible of the obstacles that hold people away, we wanted to remove, getting rid of caricatures of Christianity, getting rid of thick walls of the church where people can't feel like they can come in, getting rid of as much of that as we possibly can so that if they're going to stumble over anything, it's just going to be Jesus. That was a passion from day one, and over my dead body, will that not be a passion on day 10 million? Did I say that right? You get what I'm trying to go at. Yeah. I don't want to get killed here for the wrong thing. When I read that verse, and it was crazy, and then it goes on, and this has been very, very influential for us. For this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place. So this picture of God as majestic and awesome, and whatever your view of God is, it's not big enough. God is bigger and better and greater and gooder than you can possibly think. But then there's a second half to it. But also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. And again, this has a lot to do with who we are. We believe in a big, big God who's also down on one knee beckoning you to come home with a smile on his face. And that's a bit of an oxymoron. I get that. But that's what we think the scripture tells you about who God is. And that's one of the reasons when we did come into this building, we changed the stage because the stage was all high, that level, and there were no steps here. It gave this kind of, it gave a high and holy view of God, but it kind of said, stay away. We want to say, God is high and holy. Come towards him. And then God says, I will not accuse forever, nor will I always be angry. For then the spirit of man would grow faint before me, and the breath of man that I have created. I was enraged by his sinful greed. I punished him and hid my face in anger. Yet he kept on in his willful ways. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. Don't just gloss over that. Do you get that? That's the beauty of the gospel. That God has seen your ways and loves you still. Some of you are wandering right now and he still loves you. That's the beauty of the gospel. Is that good? I'll guide him and restore comfort to him, creating, and this is a beautiful poetic phrase, creating praise on the lips of the mourners in Israel. Oh, peace, peace to those who are far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. We believe at Hope, one thing's that from day one, we've believed that the central message of everything we do is the gospel message. For people who don't yet know about Christ, you need the gospel. The gospel says simply this, that you and I are sinners. We have gone against a holy God, and he has made the initiative towards you in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to pay for that, to call you back to himself. And it requires us to bend our knee to him and say, yes, I will do that. I want to do that. That's what baptism is for. It's a public declaration that you've done that. This doesn't save you, doesn't do anything like that. It just shows, just proclaims to everybody, look at me. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm all wet. That's what it says. But it says we all start there. There's no peace for the wicked. We're all there. Nobody's exempt. We're all there. And the gospel message reconciles us. But you know what? After you come to Jesus, it's still the answer. The gospel of Jesus Christ. That he is pursuing you. That he is looking for you. That there are things in your life that you need to turn from still. And the answer is the gospel. What's the question? Don't know. Answer is the gospel. Always. So 14 of us got passionate about this crazy thing. And formed together a vision statement. We wanted to help as many people as possible become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Hope has, and I mean this, hope has never been about numbers. In fact, for the first, how many years? Didn't count, right. We didn't count people. I would meet with this church planting coach I had, and every Monday he'd ask me, What were the attendance? I said, I don't know. How much money came in? I said, I don't know. And a third question that I didn't know. It's like, well, what do you measure? I don't know. I don't measure anything. I just, my key still fits in the door. I'm happy, you know? And the 14 of us realized what was payday was not large groups and that whole kind of thing, but it was actually people getting jump-started in their faith. People came from what we call de-churched or unchurched, and coming alive and finding Christ and getting involved in the community. And so we used to, in the old days, we used to, and I said it this morning to Tim Johnson, we used to call Baptism Sunday payday, because this is the day when people are declaring their faith. This is what we're about, not about large groups and all that kind of thing. So on our grand opening in 1996, there were 100 people. Most were well-wishers. We went to about 35, 40 people, and we trickled up. I remember this. That somebody asked me, and I thought, you know what? I better stop lying. Because you know what? Because when you don't know, you just round up to the nearest 1,000. And I remember after the end of 2 years, we were, if you counted every kid, every adult, a couple of cockroaches in the basement, right around 75 people. And we were happy as a clam. Clam? Happy? I guess so. It's a phrase. So, and that was great. It was great. Those of you who were around in those days, remember we met in this little building right here on a campus. Those of you who are over at the Superblock, Frontier Hall, TRT Hall, it's right across the street there. We met there. They were very gracious to us for 7 years. It holds probably about 150 people in the sanctuary, and it wasn't until from 96 to 2000, January of 2000, we always had one service, 10:30. I liked 10:30. 10:30 was nice. Okay. That held us for a while. And then it just kind of started going up a little bit. We went to two services in 2000. In 2002, we did the great failure. Went to three services in the morning. And the first one was at 8 a.m. Both of us liked that service. Then 10:30. And we pushed that thing to fire code, beyond fire code. And then 12 o'clock. Again, both of us liked that service as well. So it did not work, holding that thing. And we started realizing we were in a problem. One thing that we've been passionate about at Hope, and this is true of us, is we are extremely passionate about the things that make us stick. What's the goop of hope? And we think this is our goop. We think there's seven things. We call them our values. There's just seven things. Honestly, again, these are things that we've done from the beginning, and they're things we're going to do to the end, even though things change. But these are not going to change. First of all, we believe it is for God's glory. It ain't about us. It ain't about us. Get over yourself. You're not that big of a deal. I'm not either. But God still uses us, definitely, but it is about God. Second thing, we are all poster children for grace. If you don't get that, if you think there's somebody that you're better than, even in this room, you don't get the gospel. You don't understand the gospel because the gospel says it's all level playing field. Third thing, this actually forms a really, really bad sentence, but through the truth of the Word of God, we do believe that God's Word changes lives. We honestly believe that that is true. So you don't have to be rocket scientists. Just get involved in the Bible. We believe that we should depend on the Holy Spirit, especially as a church grows. It's very tempting to just want to kind of use your mojo, because you got mojo, you know, and use your mojo and just kind of get things done. Instead of trusting in the Holy Spirit, we use an analogy all the time on this, saying when you get to that certain size, for us it was around 400 or 500, where we just felt like, wow, we can really do this thing now. It's tempting to just put down your big Evinrudes on the back of your boat and boom, go across the lake. And when you get to the other side of the lake, you go, why are we here? I don't know. Let's go over there. Boom, you just go over there. Instead of just putting up your sails, saying, Holy Spirit, where do you want us to go? And I love what God has done in our history, because he's forced us to put up our sails at times. Significantly. I'll talk about one of those in just a minute. We believe that all people matter to God. There's not a person you've ever met that doesn't matter to God. Every person. Luke chapter 15, if you're story of the lost son, lost coin, lost sheep, and then the lost son. And it is beautiful. It just says that all people actually really matter to God. If they matter to God, then people matter to us. We want to make people followers of Jesus. We're not going to be a follower of Jesus. If you're here this morning, you're not a follower of Jesus yet, boy, we're glad you're here. Really, you're the most important person here. That's great. We're glad you're here. We just want to be straight up with you, though. We love you exactly the way you are. No pressure to change. But we are going to encourage you to become more and more towards Christ. That's just what we're going to do. And people are going to do that in my life. That's what community does to one another. And then lastly, we want to spread the kingdom of God. We want to do this. The phrase we like to use here is, we want to go into the kingdom of darkness. We want to trash the joint. We're on the offensive. They're on the defensive. We're going to try to make the world more about the kingdom of God than about what our enemy wants to do with it. Now, right around in 2002, we came to a point in our history where we had one passion that we always had, is we wanted to start other churches. So in 2002, we let 10% of our people and 20% of our income, but who's counting, leave and start St. Paul Fellowship. It took a third of our elder team at the time. It was somewhat decimated. It was really difficult to do that. We had no building. We had no prospect of getting a building. And we knew that the clock was ticking on the current property we were in. And we were like, what are we going to do, God? Because we started looking around the University of Minnesota, and the best prices we could find for something to purchase and or renovate was around $2.5 million. Again, the sum total of these 200 people was not even $200,000. So there was just no, what were we going to do? And so one of our elders, Bart Carey, said, you know what? We don't need money. We need a building. That's our problem. We need a house. Now, the building does not define the church. The church is the people, right? But it's like having a house for your family. It's kind of a nice deal, you know? It's kind of a place where you eat and sleep and you're there. That's all it is. It's just a tool. It doesn't define your family. Your family's the people. But it's kind of nice to have a place where you can gather and an office and have all these different things. And so we needed a property. We planted in September of 2002. In November of 2002, Tom Mao, who's the district superintendent of Evangelical Free Church here in Minnesota, came to myself and my associate at the time and said, I got this crazy thing going on. There's this church that might be going out of business. They'd be interested in giving you the property. And so in 2003, we came downtown to this historic property, 1895. We're the third owners of this property. And we moved in. We had the passing the baton ceremony on June 1st. On June 2nd, we started ripping up pews and carpet, and we started going like crazy. We worked like crazy. June, July, and August, I remember spending like 70 some hours 1 week just helping build this and put in that hardwood floor and different things. It was great. Really fun experience. Whole church got involved. Again, there's only about 200 people or so at that time, 225 or so. And we opened the place up in August, late August, and we kick it off in September, and boom, we have a 25% growth burst overnight. It's like, where'd they come from? I'm convinced what it was is that it was old Central people who they thought were left the building, but they just were lost in some of the nooks and crannies. And we found them and just started going like that. So there you go. And so in 2003, we came on here. Now, album cover number two. Another famous album here. Anybody? Huh? There you go. What's going on? Some sand. Huh? Got to get kind of the whole thing doing one of these. Marvin Gaye, what's going on? What's going on right now? Right now at Hope Community Church. What is going on? And I was hit by this a couple weeks back. When we were in the 2 Corinthians series, and we talked about this passage. It says that it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken with that spirit of faith. We also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Paul's saying, the reason that I had guts to come to you and speak the gospel message so that the whole church getting started in Corinth was because I stepped out in faith. Okay, so that's how the church gets started in Corinth, is because Paul takes that step. Now this, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people, that phrase, more and more people, hit me like a ton of bricks, may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. This is the chart of what's going on at Hope. Now that was written in September. It's a little hard to see the numbers there. It says 1,000 right there. That was written in September. By December, we hit 1,200, and our high water mark now is 1,300 in February. And so, that's great. That's just great. It's great. So, but that's interesting, right? I mean, that balcony was not designed for anywhere near what we're putting up there. That's all I'm saying. You people might want to move. No, I'm just kidding. It's fine. You're good. You're good. But something's happened along the way, and it's an interesting opportunity, I've been told. I can't call it a problem. That's not right. No, it's a problem. If you look at the little red dots there too, is those are times when we have started churches. So we are very committed to starting churches. We want to see ours. We believe that it's way more important to have multiple churches in our city than one necessary large one. That was never our goal here at Hope, was never to be a large church. We want to start churches, and we're going to continue to do that. We got some more in the hopper right now. We want to start churches, but not working. Not working. It's like shoveling the ocean here. We're not doing a good job of this whole thing. It's growing faster than we can start new churches and all those kind of things. And that was not in the plan. So that leads to the next album cover, the most famous band, the Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush. What's next? Never heard of them? Oh, neither had I. But I'm sure they're famous. They're so famous you can't even find the album cover. That's some guy who scanned the back of the CD cover. That's all I could find. All right, you can do better. That's great. Let me share a passage of scripture on what's next. I've been in 1 Thessalonians 4. I'm reading through right now my devotional life, kind of slowly through. Right now, I just finished 1 Thessalonians. I'm going through 2 Thessalonians right now. This has hit me. It says, for we know, brothers loved by God, This is from chapter 1. He's speaking to the people of Thessalonica, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe sufferings. You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. So this church then starts to become well known out there. One of the things that we love is our city. I love this city. I've been here since 1982. I'm a native Minnesotan, but I love Minneapolis. Minneapolis and St. Paul. If you're from St. Paul, I'll pray for you. But Minneapolis, I just love this city. I have a man crush on this city. I just think it's great in so, so many ways. Of course, it has problems. I'm not trying to deny that. But we want this to be a place where, because hope is around, that this city is better because of. Is Minneapolis a better city because Hope Community is here? Does that help? Do people from Hope bless our city? That's the aim. Paul goes on, he says, the Lord's message rang out from not only in Macedonia, Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned from God to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. And that so fits with you know, you might be going, I didn't follow idols. Yeah, you did. We all struggle with idolatry. And that's what we're turning. That's the gospel message. I'm turning from inner idols, things that make me alive. Sure, they're not pieces of stone that I bow down to anymore, but they're careers or marital status or sex or whatever, music, fill in the blank. Whatever it is that fills you up outside of God, that goes beyond enjoyment, goes to worship. That's idols. And hope is trying to be a place where we turn from those idols to living God. As I was prepping for this message a couple weeks back, I was trying to get some things put together. I wrestled through. I started thinking, okay, if I was sitting there, what would be some of my questions? One of my questions would be, is Hope becoming a megachurch? That's one of the questions that I'm wrestling with. Is Hope going to become a megachurch? And I thought, no, it can't be. I don't have big hair, and my wife doesn't wear makeup like she's been the loser in a paintball war. So it can't be. I stole that, but that is funny. And I said to myself, no, if megachurch means programs, organization like Clear, no. Our line here at Hope, and will always be our line, if you don't like organized religion, you are going to love Hope Community Church, okay? We mean that. But I am not kidding you. As I'm wrestling with this question, I'm at Caribou, I hit send and receive, and I get this. Mega Church Forum is now following you at Pastor Trike. I'm like, you got to be kidding. I'm not kidding. I'm thinking it's cool. I hit send and receive. I get this. So what's next? What's next? The reality is we were definitely at one of those waiting for the wind of the Spirit moments. April, we rewind to April 2010. We go on an elder retreat. There is one issue on the table. What are we doing? This is insane. What are we doing? And there were five possible solutions. All right? Five possible solutions. Number one, do nothing. This was my favorite option, but it's irresponsible. But it was still my favorite option. Two, plant churches. Well, we've already been doing that, shoveling the ocean. Three, remodel this building. Now, we did look into that, and for about $3.5 million or whatever, $2.5 million or whatever it was, we got 30 seats. Yeah. Move. Nobody liked the idea of moving. We love being downtown. We love being so close to university. We love that whole thing. And then lastly, we looked at the whole issue of multi-site, having multiple campuses. But just given where we're at, we really wanted to do it in a way that each site, and this is something we're still looking at, each site would really feel like its own church. And just because of that, and we didn't want to go with the video thing that a lot of people are doing, and I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying that's kind of where we're at. And as we looked at that option around the nation and talked to a whole bunch of people, they all said, oh, you want to do multi-site, but you don't want to go video. It will not, N-O-T, solve your space issue, period. Beautiful. So we're looking at five options, none of which seem to work, which kind of defaults them back to my option, do nothing. And in the middle of that meeting, we get a message that there's a potential that this building right next door to us, might be going out of business. So we follow up that, and from April, whatever that was, late April, until now, that has been the trajectory of what we've been thinking about, where we're headed with that property. The Lord has led us very, very remarkably in some things. We came out with a new logo, if you remember this. This is cut and paste from our website. It represents different aspects of who we are at Hope. Christ being on mission, the gospel, being spirit-led, and leadership development. And we get over to Augustana, and there's the balcony. And it's a little hard to see, but what's it called again? Yeah, what you all said that I couldn't hear. It's called that. Semiform. What? Quatrefoil, that's what it is. Thank you. That's what I was. The rest of you are wrong. thanks, bud. It's a quatrefoil, and it's right there in the. We didn't. That was totally, you know, God thing, coincidence, whatever you want to say. So we looked at that. We put together a document, put together a proposal, which asked them to basically sell us the property for what they originally paid for it. We've told you that it's $219,219 is what the asking price is. Plus, we have other financial incentives in there as well. But the genius of, and I can't remember who came up with the idea. I'm going to give credit to Drew and John Neal, but it might have been somebody else, so I apologize. But we came up with this idea of thinking about legacy. And as we listened to them for months, the legacy concept was what they really wanted their church to have. And so we came up with this picture. And this picture is the one that, for many of them, was like the moment that they felt like, oh my gosh, this is our legacy from the 1800s. All the way, that's last year's spring retreat, and they're kind of merged together. That's what we want to do. We want to go over to Augustana, and we want to continue on that legacy. Now, let me share with you, I've got some preliminary architectural drawings of what our plans are for this, and here they are. Now, it's only $975 million. What's next? Let me talk about what really excites us. Buildings don't really excite us. Buildings are great. Buildings are tools. What really excites us is what's going to happen later on today. And you're going to read on the city. This is the best part. Watching people get baptized is great. Go on the city later and people write their faith story. That's fun. That is so fun to see people's faith story. And then watching everybody else living out the gospel in the context, the messy context. It's messy. If it's not messy yet, you haven't been here long enough. In community, we're really passionate about leadership development. We want to see people continue to be developed leaders. We want to start new churches. And we also are looking at this concept of having perhaps multi-site. But again, it would be each site would be very self-contained in that. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the timeline. Timeline for Augustana. This Wednesday night, we're going to go over there and celebrate Lent with them. It's called the Holden Service. I've got it now. It's the country western version of doing Lent, I guess, or somehow. And I was going to say rock, but it's not going to rock. It's going to twang. I guess that's what you do with country western. So, and we're going to hang out with them this Wednesday. In the end of April, April 27th, the last Friday of April, we close on this property. We will close on that day. Somewhere that weekend, we hope to have a passing the baton ceremony in that property. And we want, Lord willing, we want to have William Berg, the 101-year-old former pastor of this church, preach at it. That will be fun. And believe me, the man can still preach. That will be a lot of fun. We then, somewhere in May, through the end of August, we'll work on remodeling. In this remodel, when we came down here, we were 200 people. So we didn't make some decisions that at 1,300 people you have to make, like bathrooms, like, and we serve coffee. We went through 20 carafes of coffee before the service. What a bunch of slacker freeloaders you are. My gosh. 20. I can't believe you guys are drinking. Pardon me. You serve coffee, you got to have a bathroom. You know what I'm saying? So we didn't do that bathrooms. We didn't do flow. We didn't have to. We were 200 people. You want to talk about flow? After this service, go out there and just watch. It's a fun little social experiment to watch. Out in this lobby, as about 800 people come in and go out through this little piece right here, it is hilarious. So we're going to do that over there. We're going to create some more open spaces. We're going to put in some modern bathrooms. We want to keep the vintage feel of the church, but we also know that we need to update it with regards to sound and light and some projection and a few other things like that. We're not going lasers and all that. You're right. But we do want to keep the feel of the vintage, but we also know that we can update it. Now, we also want to be able to use both buildings. We need to use both buildings on a Sunday morning. And the original idea, and we're pretty sure about this, is morning services will be over there. We need to make that sanctuary so it seats 800 people. We'll be able to seat per service 800 over there. We'll have the evenings back here for that. We also may need to do some property acquisition as we look at surrounding properties around here. Now, as a result of that, it's going to cost some stuff. Let me tell you what it's going to cost. And today we're kicking off the Legacy Campaign. So it starts today in about 3 weeks, March 25th. We'll ask for people to actually make some commitments. And we have four things that we're looking for commitments on. One, we know that we don't have tons of money. We realize that. But like we did this property, we did it at about 50% of what it would have cost if we hired everything. So we're looking to ask you if you have time, if you can donate time. Some of you are very skilled, and you can do some skilled things. We'll talk about that in a second thing, but some of you can just donate your time. Second thing will be, and it's really this short period of time, really it's from May to the end of August. We hope to open, grand opening in that building, Lord willing, Labor Day weekend, 9-2. Talent. Some of you have talents. Some of you are not just, you know, you really have some building things, electrician or plumbing or whatever. This would be something we'd love to see you be a part of a team that could do some of these things. Third thing is treasure. It's going to take some money. And the reality is just because of some of the code things we have to come up with, as well as putting in bathrooms, as well as doing some pretty significant things with spacing, taking out some walls and getting all that worked out right, and that'll be load-bearing, and there's just some expenses with that, including the acquisition of the property. Grand total, we're guessing, so this is a rough guess, plus or minus $300 million. We're thinking $1 million. We're thinking this acquisition will cost about $1 million. Here's the crazy thing. We have not even opened this campaign until today, and $230,000 has already come in. It's crazy. So that sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money, but there's over 1,000 people here, 1,000 people at $1,000 each. Some of you can do way more than that. Some of you, it's unbelievable if you spread that over a year or so, $100 a month or whatever. That's $1 million. So it is possible. It is something we can do. It's going to take that. And then lastly, it's going to take your ticker. Hope will not be hope without people who are committed to making it and keeping it. Keeping the goop of hope. We're not, okay, it might get bigger. Okay, that I can't do anything about that. But it's going to still be the same thing. Over my dead body, it's still going to be about the gospel and community. That's not going to change. So we need our hearts in it. Let me give you an application for you to start to think about, okay? Will you pray about so that we don't drop this one. Will you pray about that and what your commitment would be for that? Let's pray together. Jesus, we come before you now as we prepare our hearts to respond at all you've done and you're continuing to do. So, Lord, we thank you for what you've done in this church. It's so fun to look out here and see people that I didn't know a few years back, and some of them, it's fun to see their newfound faith in Christ. And God, it's just great. So I ask, God, that you just continue to bless. Lord, that you'd allow this next step in our history to be just like the past ones. Always a struggle, but that you have always come through. So, Lord Jesus Christ, we just ask for your hand in this. Help us not to drop it. Help us to be faithful and to carry on a legacy that has been happening on this block for well over 100 years. We're just the next step, and there'll be somebody after us. We just ask for that, God, that you'd make us people who are faithful with what you've put before us. Now, God, as we get the opportunity to worship you, and that's what it's about, and as we get the opportunity to respond through baptism and respond through the communion table, would you just fill this place with your presence? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.